Now, I felt something in my spirit tonight that I want to bring to this congregation. I want to take you to the familiar, almost it's like a foundation. I preached on my favorite subject over the weekend this past Sunday. My favorite subject has a name. His name is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's never failed. Never, never once. I have failed him many times, but he has never failed. I made a statement, if you'll recall, at the end of the meeting, and then last night we talked about that precious blood and the cross of Jesus Christ. And thank you, PS40, for always singing that song. And thank you, Nancy Harmon, for that song that just set this up. If you will recall that I made this statement, and the statement goes something like this. Satan thought he had a problem, and he did, when he had this man called Jesus Christ walking around in his flesh suit, his temporary house, his temporary body. You remember we concluded last night with this conclusion that at the end, if you will remember, he cried, "It is finished." Just a momentary review. He cried, "It is finished." And he drew his last breath, and the last phrase out of his mouth would be, that's important, we underscore it and review it and remember it. He said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I return it to my heavenly Father." Then he drew that last breath. Well, then of course we know, we made a statement that hell must have had a party. It's not literally like that in the scripture, but we can draw on that because this enemy of Satan, Jesus Christ, has now been exterminated. But what Satan didn't quite piece it together was that what he was about to face now, this Jesus that walked around in his natural suit, went into a tomb. It was a barred tomb. And the reason it was barred, he's not going to need it very long. It's just barred. It just won't need it but about 3 days. I'll be back. So on that third day, Scripture says the angels rolled the stone away. And I thought God's a God of flair. And Scripture says they then sat down on top of that stone. I don't know why that gets my attention. It's just a flair. I think they were going, "Na, na, na, na." You know, you thought you had this thing wrapped up, but you think you had trouble before. Now you're in big trouble. And then it said God. That's important that we underscore that. It said God raised Jesus from the dead. Ooh, I'm not into goosebumps, but Brother Mark, I got a passel of goosebumps that time on my body. God raised him from the dead. Wish you could get a big picture of how big your God is, and I wish you would get a big picture. It doesn't matter how things may look, God is still in control. Okay, that was a pretty good Episcopalian thing you had going there. Let's give it another shot. God's in control of this whole thing. God sets over men whom he will. God moves the hearts of kings, princes and priests and leaders. They're pawns in his hand. You never have to hit the panic button. Never. He's in control. You don't need to worry about it and fret over it. God's watching over this whole situation. So on the third day when he arose from that grave, this is my way, it's my message, and I've read about every resource there is, and mine's about as good as anybody. He came out of that grave, and he, in his own way, he said, I'm back. Everybody go with me. I'm back. Now, what the enemy didn't know was something was about to be set in motion that was going to be catastrophic. Because now we had one Jesus in one flesh suit that now is the new Jesus with his immortal body. And Scripture says we are going to have a body. Ooh, this is good. Are you recording this tonight? I want a copy of this thing we got going here. He said, you and I are going to have a body just like his body. So if you've ever wondered what kind of body you're going to have, and this one may begin to get changing as every day in the mirror, I can see that happening, but you're going to have a new body just like our Lord. Well, then, if you remember, Jesus appeared to 500 people. 500 people saw him. That resurrection. This is important. Background is really important in the message. And context is important in this. So, this 500 people that he would visit, he would meet, they saw him. Now, it's interesting to note out of the 500 that saw him and witnessed it, we don't have time to go into detail. That's not where I want to pitch my tent in this message. But then it moves on to another, not in chronological order, but then 120 showed up at the prayer meeting. So 500 and then 120. Then 70 would go out two by two. Again, not in chronological order, but and then 12 were called. And then one only went all the way with him to the cross. But in the mix of all of this conflict, if you will, and all of this business that was going on, out of this what seemed to be a conglomerate of such disarray was going to emerge this triumphant church. Because up until what is about to happen, it was not known as the church. The followers of Jesus were called those that were in the way. I'm the way. So if you know, here's the whole deal. If God wanted to, he could peel back the curtain of heaven. He could have peeled it back. He could have said, I'm God, you're not. Follow me. And that would have settled it. But you see, that isn't the way he's going to do it. He's going to give people choice. So when he came up out of that grave, and then those 500 that saw him, and the 120, and the 70, and then the 12, and then the 1. And then when all of this kind of was, and again, not in chronological order, but it's important to understand the impetus that I'm trying to make on this. The 120 then would show up in this place called the upper room. Not defined as the church, but still followers in the way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth and the life. And you have to remember, everyone he called publicly. And on it goes, the 12. We won't go into all of that, but we can make this one distinction. It says that Jesus, in one instance, found Philip. And then Philip found Nathanael. And then it said, Philip said to Nathanael, come, for we have found him, the Messiah. And then Nathanael went, and Jesus said, I saw you back, and gave him where he saw him. In other words, he was calling out those in the way that is going to be known as something differently. So then Jesus is walking along, and now we're into Acts 1. And he's walking along this road. His last statement about to come out of his mouth. How many think last statements are important, last words? So this man called Jesus that shed his blood and paid that price and walked that short period of time, just days. And now he's about to utter his last words before he leaves this earth. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I can tell you, I can feel it all in me right now. I'm hanging on to his every word. And he's about to make an announcement. We're always talking about going to another level. Well, this way bunch is about to go to another level. The devil thought he had problems with one Jesus. Now there's going to be a whole bunch of those little anointed people. The same anointing that was in Jesus is about to be handed down. And the authority, the power of attorney, is about to be handed down to the followers of those that are in the way. So here's what he said. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's just saying that. I don't know if he's blowing it out like loud. I don't know about that. I just kind of think he was just sort of like saying it. You'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. Jerusalem being home, Judea, the outer skirts, and in Samaria, a place that nobody wanted to go. And then if that wasn't enough, it was almost like he did a hand gesture. And that's my little component to put in there, because it would just seem like it would sort of be a natural thing, wouldn't it, Brother Mark? Just to kind of like, and then if that didn't cover it, and then he said, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So here he is, his little follower in the way is standing in 2012, almost 13, reciting the words of the Master to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he said that, suddenly gravity lost its pull. And up, up, up and away. I don't know if it was a rapid thing. I kind of think it was one of those things kind of different than what ours is going to be, I think, because it said they must have been staring, because there's proof of that. They must have been looking, and they witnessed him go away. He's going away. But he said something, you remember. If I go away, I will come again. I'm coming again for you. I think we're close. I'm kind of thinking we ought to implement something called a rapture drill. I don't quite know how to work that deal, but somebody get up and just jump and see if you can get on out of here. And if you do, I'm going to grab you by the heels and go on with you. You may say, well, Brother Dwight, I thought we were going through that tribulation period. Well, if you want to go through it, you enjoy it. But on that first load, I'm out of here, Jack. I'm gone. I'm popping away. Now he said something. And you have to remember, all of this gang, all of this group, in it seems almost all, in one form or another, that we could get the record on it. They failed him at a pivotal time when they had a chance, you know. And a lot of them, they made statements, and they obviously loved him, but they didn't know what to think about this man. They followed him because, you remember, everything he did was he called people. He would say, "Follow me." He called them publicly, "Follow me." And he stirred up things. He stirred up everybody. He got people mad at him. But then he left, and now they've all scattered. And there was only that one that hung in there at the cross. And of course, that was John. Of course, his mother was there. You can't scare off mothers. And then Mary Magdalene, she was there. And then this is a drama. This is the end. But it wasn't the end. It was now the beginning and the birth of something now that is going to be called the called out ones. And it's going to have a name. Now, I'm not going to give you the name just yet. Give me a couple of more minutes to get there. So now then, he had made this statement. He said, now, another place he said, now, when I'm gone, you go into that city of Jerusalem and you tarry, or you wait there. Wait there how long? Until. We're living in a day when everybody's in a hurry. Wonder what would happen if that until thing became the priority. It's just a thought. We're only going till midnight. It's just a thought. But I just wondered what would happen if a spirit of perseverance and tenacity took over the body of Christ. I want to tell you something. If this Christian block called followers of Christ, if this block of people in this nation that claim to be followers of Jesus Christ would stand up and put their foot down and say there's going to be changes in this nation, you can bet on it. Forgive the vernacular. Washington would hear it and they could change it in 24 hours. Stuff that is going on in this nation would be changed just like that. If just the Christian would rise up and be what God has called us to be. Let the church be the church. So here they come on that morning. It's morning. I think the year, if I'm correct, would probably be about somewhere around 29 B.C., somewhere A.C., right, somewhere right in there. And all of this time, from the time he ascended to the time now then that something is about to happen at that Passover time I talked about last night. Because you see, that was only part of it. The other feast that was going to take place, which would be the last one, is called the Feast of Pentecost, and that meant 50. 50 days after Passover, which is what we talked about last night, was now going to be the last of the triune feast. And it's the Feast of Pentecost. And that's where they celebrate the barley harvest. But what they didn't realize was that something was about to happen. So here the town is crowded with a million people. Historians and Josephus talks about it. And so the whole town is just covered with people. So they've already had one seismic shift that took place. Now the Lamb of God has been revealed, and he once and for all. In other words, every other religion, you have to do something. D-O, do this. But when he cried, "It is finished," you've got to add two more letters to the D-O. It's called N-E, done. Okay, I've heard more amens than that in a morgue. I'm going to give you another shot at it. When Jesus came, you didn't have to kill another little fleecy lamb. When he paid the price, done. That's it. The price has been paid. Boy, that kicks in my spirit. I don't know what's wrong with me. You'd think I'd cool down after a while, but I'm getting more feisty than ever before. It's a done deal. Hallelujah. Satan has already received a mortal wound. He's on his last leg. Done! So into that upper room, then this group winds up. Remember, they're still scattered. Here comes 120 of them. Boy, one of them really is highlighted in all this. And he's the kind of guy that reminds me of a lot of us. Good intentions. He's brave. He's tempestuous. He's volatile. He's a man's man. Well, so was James and John, for that matter, and Peter. James and John, the sons of thunder. How's that for a name? They were burning up the Gaza Strip. And then this other one that's in there, he's a fisherman. He's rough, tough, and he's volatile, and things set him off, and he's got a temper. Like Phil. He can explode it any minute. And Susan said, amen. But you know, his temper came out when they sliced off the ear of that Roman that was trying to, he was ready to fight at a moment's notice. And then when Jesus said, one of you are going to deny me, and not me. Anyone will deny you. They may all deny you, but not me. And you see all of this bluster. He still didn't have the capacity then to stand up and be counted when it counted. Until now. The event that was going to carry him beyond this place, he was going to be a new man. And he was going to become an anointed one, no longer the coward of Calvary. He's about to become a bold, fearless, really the leader of this new enterprise called the church. The church of Jesus Christ. The church. The hope of America is church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a denomination, not an organization, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The called out ones. The anointed ones. You possess that gem, that power that's inside you, the same power that was in our Lord. He transferred it. So now then, the 120 is about to experience something. So when that day, Acts 2, when Pentecost was fully come, then they were all in one mind, one accord. There's a thought. Wonder what would happen if everybody, we like to say, would just get on the same page. That's a thought. They were all in one mind and in one accord. If we all just got together. Well, here's a thought that goes beyond the walls of this place. I just wonder what would happen if all of us had this united thought. Oh God, whatever it takes to get the mightiest revival to sweep America, we don't care who gets the credit. There are no stars in the body. There's only one star. It hung over Bethlehem. It's the only one that he sent a star to hang over that little tiny baby in that manger, and there are no other stars. The bride and the morning star and all the rest of us are His servants and the Father. I wonder what would happen if we would humble ourselves as preachers. There's no TV star out there. There's only one star, and it is the bride and morning star. And His name is Jesus Christ, the Son. That's a curious thing about the greatest sin of them all. It's not smoking or cussing or adultery or any of that. It's the mother of all sins. It's something that creates in people's mind a sense of entitlement. I have a right. But it does have a name. And I call it the mother of all. And it's called pride. The curious thing about pride. Pride in us wants to take the credit for every success. And pride also wants me to transfer all of my failures on somebody else. And pride creates a sense of entitlement that I'm different from everybody else. But I'm here to tell you, in that upper room, that is one thing they had to lose. They had to lose their own personal identification. Because now it's no longer about us. It's a bigger word. It's about the cause. David said, is there not a cause? This isn't about just a Goliath. There's a cause at stake here. In 2000, almost 13, there's a cause at stake. Our forefathers have not dropped the ball. Will we be the generation that sells out? Let's shout it out, not on our watch. Let's shout it out, not on our watch. Well, all of a sudden in that upper room, the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were all in one mind and one accord. And then suddenly, that's what happens when you get in one mind and in one accord, a suddenly takes over. Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. They were all filled. All, A-double-L, that's important. Everybody just kind of put your skin right there on your hand and say, I'm an all. So that's all. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now here's something I want to say right here. No misunderstanding, because I don't believe you will, but just a little cautionary note. The greatest part of the gift is not speaking in that tongue. That's the lesser part of the gift. The greater part of the gift is what the gift was there for in the first place. That's to give you an impetus or a power, an anointing that you did not up until that time have received it. Because it's about to be a living proof and evidence of a man that was a coward. And the same man that said, I'll never deny him, denied him not once, not twice, but three times. And he did that the last time to a little girl, to a little handmaiden over the enemy's fire, when she said, I know who you are. And he said, you're mistaken. Something to that effect. You're mistaken. And it said the cock would crow for that third time. And this was a denial to a little lady. This blustering, boisterous fisherman, coward to a little lady denying association with that zealot called Jesus. But now, his hero has been crucified. And now, he's got steel in his backbone. Now, fear has gone the other way. Now he's afraid no more. That's what the Holy Ghost will do to every one of you in this room. Fear no more dominates your life. And then when they on the outside, beginning in verse 6 and thereafter, they begin to say on the outside, what meaneth this? They were quizzing one another, caused an uproar, and people had come. They were gathering around that room. You got to remember, there's a great crowd there. So they're wanting to know what's going on. What's the deal? There's people up there. There's a strange thing. One figured it out. That genius said, they're all drunk. They're just a bunch of drunkards. They're carrying on and all of that. And what are the things they say? It's not recorded, but you can only imagine. But all of a sudden, the 120 is about to become enough that they're going to be designated as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that room, their leader has been crucified. Everybody has scattered. But the coward of Calvary is about to get a new label. He's going to be the first bold powerhouse preacher anointed with the Holy Ghost that's going to pick up the baton, and he's going to continue the work of that one that said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He steps out of that room. And his message is not ambiguous. His message is not vague. He could say it just like this. Read my lips. Verse 13. These men, you men of Judea and all of you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. These men are not drunk with wine as ye suppose, seeing it is but 9 o'clock in the morning or the third hour of the day. But this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith the Lord, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. You better get a fresh hold of this tonight. Listen to me real closely. You better not take this message for granted. You better not sit there and say, I know all about this story about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You better not for one moment think that I can listen to this one more time without the effect it is intended to produce. Don't give God that stuff that says, I've heard this all of my life. There is an absolute instruction that comes from heaven. You cannot listen to what you're hearing tonight without receiving the endowment of power that kicks in and takes over. You cannot talk about this without you experiencing a change in you now, even though you know the message. It produces a result. And let me say this to you by heart of hearts. And if it doesn't produce a result in you right now while I'm preaching it, why doesn't it? Well, wait a minute. We're not Baptists. I didn't even mean that to be tongue-in-cheek. That wasn't a derogatory. We're not Baptists. We're not Presbyterian. We're the people that all the rest of them out there hear us talk about. We took it to another level. We're those people that speak in tongues. We talk in tongues. We prophesy. This is the message that we project to the world. We're faith people. I mean, religious people call us fanatics. Even Pentecostal people that have become used to it, they call us fanatics. But now, if there's nothing reproduced of that message that I'm preaching tonight and re-energized in you and makes you absolutely feel like you get it
And you're not going to settle for anything less than that mighty production that took place in that upper room. If it's not affecting you that way while this humble preacher is attempting to get it over, then we've joined the ranks of those. They're not calling us fanatics anymore. Amen. Because that guy up there is talking about stuff we know. We all talk in tongues. Why, we go to Calvary Cathedral. Let me tell you something. That puts the responsibility upon every one of us more than ever. That when you stand before God, He will say, you knew it all, and you let the fire of the Holy Ghost go out on you, to where when the man comes and talks about it, it produces no effect. What I am driving at tonight is simply this. The power that fell in that upper room, and when Peter stepped out, they turned the world upside down. Amen. You almost got it going there, didn't you? They turned the world upside down. They were fearless. And on the outside, while they're being mocked and made fun of, what meaneth this? Somebody from the inside walked out and told him what it was. He said, this is that which was prophesied by your ancestors, by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit. Well, these are the last days. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Let me tell you something. If everybody just here tonight got it, truly got it, pastor wouldn't be able to get close to his sermon on Sunday. There would be such an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Everybody in the building might be zapped out under the power of, if we really caught the power and the dynamite involved in connecting to the Holy Ghost. And when they stepped out, there's only two kinds of people. It's the ones on the outside saying, what meaneth this? Or it's those on the inside that are saying, this is that. Well, I don't know about you. I've known about the Holy Ghost my whole life. And I don't know. I must be losing it. I can't even talk about this subject without just like, it's just like in me right now while I'm talking about it. It's like a fire inside me. You think I can just get up and mumble around and figure out what to talk about it? It is such a subject so charged with power and holiness and dynamite that it turns the world upside down. My God, what's it going to take for Pentecostals to get on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost? What's it going to take? Now then, the power of the Holy Ghost came, and you know what it said? It said, just study history. In the next 1.5 century, that group of 120 swelled into the thousands and the millions. And even that group, in just 150 years, evangelized the entire known world. It is absolutely overwhelming to think I'm looking at people here tonight that have a power inside you. As I speak to you right now, that same power that was in Jesus Christ is inside you. God is in you. The power of Jesus Christ is in you. And you think the devil can walk in here and smack you around?
No, he can't.
Are you kidding me? If there's going to be any smacking around, we're the ones that's going to do the smacking around. We're the ones where Jesus would say, I'm going to build that church and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. So here's the mighty anointing that came upon the 120. And it swept the world. And then from Malachi to the beginning of Matthew is 400 silent years. No new revelation came. 400 years of what we can call the silent period. And then at the end of those 400 years, that Messiah came, didn't he? And then that crucifixion came. And then that resurrection came. And then that outpouring came. That's what took place. Now then, but since that, you can now go from that period of time almost to 1906 to where it came back again. Wasn't some white rich guy that really started that fire rolling in L.A. It was a precious African-American man by the name of Seymour. What was his full name? William Seymour. And he was one of these that had heard somebody talk about the Holy Ghost in Houston. And then he got anointed. And then he went to Kansas City. And then he wound up in Los Angeles. This precious African-American man. Then he found him a little spot there on a place called Azusa. And you know what? He preached it for years long before he received it. Isn't that a kick when you think about it? He wants it. He's preaching it. He's heard about it. He's talked about it. And now he's about to encounter it. You can't hang around it very long till sooner or later you're going to get it. You're going to get it. I wish we'd have some of those services that the police have to show up out here and say, well, we just heard a lot of noise going on inside that building. We just want to know what's happening. Now, we'll assure everything's okay. Well, the fire trucks show up. Well, they saw fire. Yeah, it was. It's the fire that fell from heaven. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Does anybody have any water anywhere around here? Just give me just about, turn to your neighbor and just say, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the precious Holy Ghost. Thank you, precious brother. My horse was thirsty. Just think. What would happen if everybody, starting tonight in this place, just said, I want that renewed experience that I had the first time I encountered. We've talked about the blood. We've talked about my man Jesus. And then when he departed, what he gave us. And now I embrace again. Afresh and anew. I want him to take a coal off of the altar and set me on fire. Just like the first time. Just like that first encounter to where people can't even talk about it in our church without everybody getting all up and start shouting and praising God. And then when that power fell, it swept all the way from 06. It began to sweep around the world till that glossolalia, and it was given more names, charismatic renewal, da, da, da. But when you get right down to it, it's called the divine anointing of the third person of the Holy Trinity. None other than the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that fell in the upper room is ready to fall here tonight and give you such a fire of anointing to set your soul aflame with the power of the gospel that you cannot be quiet any longer. You cannot shut it down. You're not going to shut up. You're not going to back up. You're never going to quit. But you're anointed with a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Which brings me to the present. And here we are, recipients of this life-changing anointing, this precious Holy Spirit, this anointing that is so powerful that it makes you somebody that hell doesn't want to mess with. It gives you a love and a boldness that you've never had before. It has a degree of perpetual motion. In other words, you can't exhaust it. It isn't something that's temperamental. It isn't something where you come to church once you see the Holy Ghost and you just say, I don't feel anything anymore. I used to, but I don't anymore. I just don't. Why not? Well, why not? Just think about the absurdity of such a statement. I know we all have hardships and trials and so on. I give us all that. I go through it, but just think about it. Are you really waiting on the Holy Ghost to get in a good mood before we're going to change our temperament and the way we are? I'm here to suggest to you that this isn't about feeling. This is about that we are a conduit. We have been given the Holy Ghost. And in other words, he said, what I had in me when I was here, I expect you now to duplicate that in your life and be a mighty force of power. So here we are as I close. We're not on my watch. I want to be a church on fire. The life-changing power of God that comes with an encounter to Jesus Christ. And then he gives us an anointing of the Holy Spirit to conclude his work and hasten back the return of the King. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close with this, please. Tomorrow, they're sending a car for me from something clean, Texas, wherever it is. This pastor by the name of Chad Rowe. And he was in Florida, and I've preached all over Florida. He was a drug addict. And they had taken him from this place where he was staying in that rehabilitation center, and they'd drive him to wherever I was preaching. He said, up and down that state, he would come. They would drag him to wherever I was preaching. And now then, the day of television, I didn't even know this until a few days ago. And he said, what you don't know is it turned my life around. And now he's pastoring the fastest growing church in Central Texas. And he said, I'll do anything. I'll give you an offering before you come, if you'll just come. So they're sending a car for me tomorrow. So I'm starting off the new year preaching a great big old thing down in Central Texas because a man came to hear the gospel years ago, and he's so on fire for God. Central Texas is exploding with the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so they're sending a car, and I'm loading up my gang in the morning or whatever it is and taking off and starting the new year off preaching on the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, in 2013, I'm asking God to let this be in Dwight Thompson's life the greatest year of anointing that I've ever witnessed, the greatest revivals I've ever seen, the greatest move of God that I've ever witnessed. I ask you tonight, are you ready for a life changing? Get on your feet, step out of your seat, and come forward right now. My God, clap your hands all the way to the front. Just clap your hands all the way to the front. Clap your hands all the way down here. My God, make some noise all the way down here. Let's press in real close right here for a minute. Praise God.
Press in real close. Just lift your hands up right now and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. PS40, if you will, come out and just get ready, if you will. Nancy Harmon, if you have another song, it doesn't matter, the same song, just be prepared at any moment, if you will, please. But let's just right now say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the same that's gotten used to this. I want an encounter tonight with the Holy Ghost as I've never experienced it in my lifetime. Did you know that there was such an anointing upon Peter and upon the other disciples that he had said that they would take the sick and the afflicted, and where he was going to walk by, that they believed that his very shadow, when it passed over them, that they would be made whole. You see, what I'm driving at tonight, we've got to wake up to a dimension of the Spirit of God that we have never experienced before. This isn't something that you just call on it when you just sort of feel like, oh, I really need Him. I think I'll get serious about this. But the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. You go back to the birth of even the Assemblies of God, which is a great Pentecostal denomination, the largest Pentecostal denomination. And you trace their history. And you'll find that some of those that came out of that Azusa Street revival, even the early leadership, experienced some of that powerful anointing that fell upon them in 1906. And then that great missionary zeal that would sweep the world. That power of the Holy Ghost swept the world. And now then here we are tonight from that upper room. As I said on a previous occasion, it's like the baton has been handed down now into the present. We heard that a powerful woman of God, Beth Grant, a few moments ago, talk about we have no fear about 213. Well, you know why that woman of God could say that? You can tell she has an encounter with the Holy Spirit that she doesn't speak through her natural lips. She speaks a word that comes under the unction of the Holy Ghost, that she can look out at days that are uncertain. We don't know what holds tomorrow, but this we can proclaim unequivocally. We have a God who holds the tomorrows in the palm of His hand. And He said, I will never leave you. I suggest to you, regardless how the storm clouds look upon the horizon, there is a bigger storm that is about to be unleashed upon this world, and that is the divine outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've preached myself hoarse. That's all I can do. Now, it's like in basketball. I take the ball and I shove it back. I'll say, now ball's in your court. I think it's time right now that we ask the Holy Ghost to do some heart searching. That woman in Georgia, that now her family's grown,
Her husband's deceased. She goes back to her little Georgia home. Memory lane. And she visits the old home place when she was a child. It's kind of broken down. And all of a sudden she notices something that's fallen down. She looks and raises it up and it says, for sale. She called the realtor. Yeah, I want to buy it. She bought it. Went in there and started tidying it up. Went to the sink, turned it on. Oh, dirty water came out. Got on a horn and got her a phone. And called some people out and said, come out here and clean out my well. And so they came out. And that's the well that her father dug. And she was a girl. And so they got down in there and they worked half a day, threw all that junk out of the well. And she said, well, let me see what you've done. She walked out there and this stuff was strewn all over the place. And she studied it and looked at it. No, she said, you're not through. Get back in there, please, and keep digging. I'll let you know when it's finished. And they worked until almost dark. Knocked on the door, exhausted. And they said, I believe we're finished. Would you take a look? The woman that bought the old home place walked and she looked through all of that debris and all that stuff. Then she stopped, looked at it. Then she said to them, here's what I owe you and thank you very much. And the two men walked away. And one of them, the curiosity got the best of him, and he turned around and he went back and he said, lady, tell us, how did you know that we were finished? Because she said, when I was a little girl, my daddy made me angry. And I was so angry at my father that I went in the house and grabbed that metal teapot off of our stove. And I walked outside furious at my father and I threw it into that well. And she said, the reason I know that you're finished, the first thing in was the last thing out. And I'm asking you tonight to let the Holy Ghost clean out your well. Could it be that the anointing is lacking because we haven't gotten out that teapot? I don't know about you, but I want to pray. I want to pray tonight and continue last night that everything in my life that's in the way, it's time for mighty revival. And I suggest to you, stuff that resides in our heart will quench the move of the Holy Ghost. We need a mighty revival of conviction, not condemnation. Even that comment is not to put condemnation upon you. But it is a conviction that comes upon me. And I'll tell you, this has been an extraordinary day. This has been an extraordinary year. It's been an extraordinary week. That I believe with all of my heart that God wants to rekindle the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost. There used to be a time you couldn't call a prayer meeting. You had to tell people it's time to stop praying. There used to be a time when the power of God was so great and the anointing was so great in my lifetime. I can go to the places and just talk about it, to where the hunger was so overwhelming in that body of people that they started a revival that you just couldn't shut that thing down. Because there was a hunger for the move of the Holy Ghost. And that's what happened in the upper room. And that's what happened to William Seymour. And that's what happened about this great Holy Ghost movement. Pentecostal churches today need to go back to Pentecost and the original outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We need a few services that nobody can explain. We need a few services that aren't boring. We need a few services that you just can't wait to get to the next service. We need a few services to where the power of God is so great, the preacher can't get through his message on his second point of a 5-point message without somebody getting up and saying, I got to get saved right now. I don't know what's happening today. I got to get healed right now. I got to come back to God right now. I need the baptism right now. In other words, the anointing. Anointing is so compelling that you just can't resist it. All right, I don't know what else to say. I delivered my soul tonight. I talked about my Jesus, and I talked about his sacrifice last night, and then I talked about his gift, not only salvation. John said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, John 1:32, and it came upon him. And that's when his miracle ministry began. And then he said, and then I bear record saying, I saw that Spirit descending from heaven, it abode upon him. And then he said, verse 33, and the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So he baptized me with that same Holy Spirit. And then he left me here to carry on his work. And that's where we are. So I ask you tonight, are we ready to continue the work of the Master? Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Feed the poor. Clothe the naked, comfort the hurting, comfort those that are in need. Are we ready to be the powerful church of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'd like to have a prayer meeting for a few minutes right now. While the singers get ready, I don't know how you can't get better than the blood, but just whatever you feel anointed, PS 40, whatever you feel anointed back there. Sister Nancy, how many are ready?
Mic
to
on.
Pray a prayer with me.
Glory to God.
You see. Everybody lift your hands and just begin to oh, the Holy Ghost.
The living God.
Yes, Nancy, that's it. That's it.
Fall fresh on me.
Are you ready tonight for it to fall fresh on you?
Hold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh
right now, Jesus,
on me.
Sing it again, sing it again.
Spirit of
let him come
the
upon you right now.
Living God,
Spirit of the Most High God.
Fall fresh on me.
Give us that fresh anointing.
Everybody, melt me, mold me,
melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, fill me right now, Lord.
sing it again.
Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. The tempo. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come with your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way.
Folks, right now the Holy Ghost is moving up and down all around this place. He's waiting, just waiting for our hearts to be surrendered completely and wholly to Him. Say, Lord, mold me and make me. Use me. Use me, Lord Jesus.
Make me. Fill me. Then you.
Get a hold of somebody's hand right where you are. Just get a hold of somebody's hand. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. There's people in this room, you may have something in your heart against somebody. There's people in this room that maybe a loved one or a relative or somewhere, someplace, you haven't been on speaking terms in a long time. First thing in has to be the last thing out. And I want us to pray this prayer tonight, even before, while Nancy's still singing this song. I want us to pray this prayer word for word for word.
Dear Lord Jesus,
I've heard this message. I receive it.
Spirit of,
I don't want to be a cold, indifferent Christian. I want my life to become a flame, passionate, full of zeal and enthusiasm, because I've been captured by His presence. The presence of the Holy Ghost. Forgive me of my lukewarmness, my indifference, my complacency, and anything in my life that I'm blinded to. Take it out. Set me free. Give me your anointing, the greatest anointing I've ever experienced. And do it now in Jesus' name. Now raise your hands all over this building. Hold them up high. Now then, let the volume swell. Everybody sing it with her now.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on
church. Sing it out of your heart. Miracle of God in your physical body, just begin to make your way right here to the front. And those that are standing there will just step back a step or two. But there's an anointing in this room. There's an anointing in this room. There's healing in this room. There's salvation in this room. Everything you need is right here in the presence of Almighty God. Cry out for His presence. You've never experienced it before. Cry out for it. Kora mara maha satalaba. I want somebody to get behind every one of these that are standing here. You just get behind them and become an extension of the hand of our Lord. Lay your hand upon them. Pastor, join us if you will. Brother Dave Grant, join us. Zonell, come and join us. Brother Mark, join us. Let's just pray.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
How many can sense that anointing? Raise your hands all over this building right now. How many sense it?
I need.
Oh, let the healing touch. Jesus, touch. Be healed. Jesus' name.
I need.
Be healed.
Oh, yes, I do.
Be healed, my sister.
Oh, bless us.
Be healed, my sister.
Heal us now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee.
Brother Dave, come on up here and just join me and start praying for people.
I need Thee.
Every hour.
I need thee, yes I do, every hour, every day I need you, Jesus, yes I do, yes I do. Oh, bless me right now, my Savior. I need you, Jesus, every hour, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, thank God I need you. Oh, bless me. Bless me now, my Savior. You see, I come, I humbly come, Lord. Hallelujah. to thee I need thee, oh, I need thee, and every hour, Lord, I need you, Jesus, yes, I do, yes, I do, Lord, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need you, Jesus.
Sing it,
just tell him I need you, Jesus.
Sing it, everybody.
I need you, Jesus.
I need you, Jesus.
I need you, Jesus. Yes, I do.
I need
yes,
you.
I do.
I need you. I need you, Lord.
I need you. Every hour, this lady needs you. Yes, I do, Jesus. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come.
Sing it again.
Jesus.
Sing it again, everybody.
I need you, Jesus.
If you have somebody in your family that needs Jesus, somebody in your home, a son or daughter, a loved one, aunt, uncle, whomever it may be, that needs Jesus, I want you to get out from where you are and come and stand all across this front. I feel tremendously compelled of the Holy Ghost that you come and stand in their stead right now. Somebody that needs the Lord. I want you to listen to this. Listen to this, everybody. We fly over the mission field to go to the mission field, don't we? How many received the message you heard tonight? How many is hungry for a move of the Spirit of God as you've never... How many?
Yes.
How many are? I believe you are. We fly over the mission field to go to the mission field. And we will keep doing that. But some can't go with Brother Grant to India. Many trips that he's made. Some hasn't been called to get on a plane and go to foreign fields. But we support those who do. But you have a mission field in your house.
Yes.
And you have a mission field in your neighborhood.
Yes, we do.
These are the stats. 100 in your neighborhood, 100 people in any neighborhood, 7 are suffering from depression or contemplating suicide. 7 out of that 100 are abusing drugs. Are they either a drug addict or an alcoholic? 14 feel crippled or trapped by feelings of anxiety and of fear. 8 are struggling with the loss of a job. 3 are grieving losses of loved ones. And 60 out of 100 don't profess to know Jesus Christ as their